Chapter 3. This morning, I started a message on responsibility and resolution. And as I thought about a good way to start tonight's message, I've always been amazed at the conviction of the Apostle Paul as he sets forth his testimony in Philippians chapter 3. He says in verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." And he proceeds to give you his religious credentials. He was a self-righteous religious Pharisee who was trusting in himself and his observance of the law until God saved him, until Christ saved him. He said, verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee." I mean, we're talking about a guy in the religious circles in Israel. He is at the top of his game. Everybody regarded him as a VIP in the Pharisaical religious circles. He said, verse 6, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." He was such a devoted Pharisee that he was instrumental in persecuting the early members of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a great hatred for the way of Christ and the way of God. But you know, God changed him. God miraculously brought about grace, and he experienced it in his life. And I love what he says in verse 7, because this is where I believe everybody has to come to if you're going to really be saved. You got to come to an end of yourself and realize you don't have what it takes in and of yourself. You need Christ. You need the grace of God. He says this, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He was brought to a place where he valued the work of Christ in his life, Christ's death, burial, his resurrection, his power working in him above everything else. He gave up everything. What a remarkable testimony that is. God used him in a great way. And he says in verse 9, "And being found in him," in Christ, "not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He quit trusting in himself. He quit trusting in his religion. Tell you what, folks, there's a lot of religious people going straight to hell because they're trusting in their works, in ceremonies, in all kinds of things other than the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. And that's what he's expressing here. And then he says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." He was willing to suffer anything for the cause of Christ. He gave up everything to follow Jesus Christ. And he was persecuted. He was, at different times, he was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. They was stoned with big rocks. I mean, he went through it. Yet he was willing to sacrifice everything for the glory of Jesus Christ. He said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I am also apprehended of Christ. I love what he says in verse 13. This brings me to our responsibility and resolution. He said in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He said, I'm not looking backwards. I'm not looking in the past. I'm looking to follow Jesus Christ from this day on. And he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All that God would give us grace as we start this new year to really press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Now, in order to really engage in what I'm going to talk about tonight, you need to be saved. You know, you got to know the Lord. The Spirit of God has to dwell in you and convict you and deal with you and open up the Word of God to you. But resolutions, I believe, as I stated today, are all through the Bible. And when I was preparing this message, I read some of the journals and the works of Jonathan Edwards. Now, Jonathan Edwards was a famous New England preacher in the 1700s. He was the president of Harvard, if you can believe that. When you think about where Harvard is today, a godless, rotten institution. Jonathan Edwards was once the president of Harvard. But he had journals, and he wrote down 70 resolutions at the age of 20. Now think about this. This is what went through this man's mind when he was 20 years of age, and he referred to these resolutions the rest of his life. He reviewed them every single week of his life from the age of 20 until he died. Now there's 70 resolutions. We're not going to go through all of them tonight. So Teresa, don't worry. But I'm going to give you some of them. Okay? Number 6. Resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Number 7. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. These are pretty thoughtful. Number 37, resolved to inquire every night as I am going to bed, wherein I have been negligent, what sin I have committed, and wherein I have denied myself, also at the end of every week, month, and year. Number 41, resolved to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein I could possibly, in any respect, have done better. Think about how much your life would change if you just gave thought to that at the end of every day, at the end of every week, at the end of every year. Number 56, never to give over, nor in the least, to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. He's saying, I'm never going to give up fighting against my sins. Number 58, resolved not only to refrain from an air of dislike, fretfulness, and anger in conversation, but to exhibit an air of love, cheerfulness, and kindness and goodness. That's a great resolution. I wish we could go through every single one of them. But I told you this morning that you and I have a responsibility, as we're saved by the grace of God, to live for the Lord, to follow Him with and love Him with every fiber of my being. I think about what God, the hole out of which God dug me, and the terrible condition that my life was in at the age of 21, and how He saved me by His grace and changed there. I owe everything to the power of Christ. And I know that I need to spend every day serving Him, loving Him, worshiping Him, and telling others about Him. Now, in every resolution, we need to remember that the flesh, our old nature, profiteth nothing, and that without Christ, we can do nothing. You can't serve God out of the energy of your flesh, out of your old nature. It has to come from the Lord. We have to daily rely on the power of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I guarantee you the devil is alive and well. He's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I believe the devil and his emissaries and the world that is bent on wickedness is after you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, and you need to be vigilant. Now, I think there's some simple things, and I've tried to live my life ever since I've been saved by a simple philosophy. And it revolves around these disciplines and these resolutions. And if you came tonight thinking, man, He's going to show us some deep thing that we've never seen before. Listen, there's nothing new in the Word of God. All right? Now, God may open your eyes to something that you hadn't seen before, but if a preacher ever gets up and says, I've got something entirely new. God just gave it to me, opened my head, my brain last. You better run. Because it's all in the Word of God. You want to know God? You want to know His truth? You want to know the way? It's in here. There's no continuing revelations. It's all in the Word of God. Now here's what some disciplines that I think can help everybody. I've been preaching this for years. The first one is BBB. Well, that ain't very deep. What's that mean? Bible before breakfast. I read a portion of God's Word before I eat anything every day. First thing I do is I get a cup of coffee and I get my Bible and I start reading it while I'm drinking my coffee, and I'm saying this for Tim Underwood's sake. I remember one time he got all excited about this plan, you know. He was telling people, you shouldn't drink or eat anything. I don't want you to waste away. People got to have their coffee. All right? I read my Bible every single morning. Bible before breakfast. Why do I do that? Well, Job gave a principle. He said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And when this really struck a chord with me, I remember I was preaching a revival meeting way back in the 90s. Isn't that hard to believe that that's a long time ago? Way back in the 90s, you know. And I was around the dinner table at the Guileys. Brother Scott Guiley, pastor's Newby Baptist Church, and his kids were all there. And before we ate lunch, everybody said a memory verse. I thought, wow. They're esteeming the words of his mouth more than their necessary food. And it hit me. So I put a little twist on it. And so I read my Bible before. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I think that we need to value the nourishment from the Word of God above everything. This, what you have in your hands tonight, is the most valuable possession you have. God inspired this book. This book has changed so many lives, mended families, strengthened people, encouraged them in the faith, enabled them to walk in God's ways. It's a book of perfection. If you want to know the will of God, read the Word of God. It's inspired by the Lord. It's unlike any other book in all the world. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I've told this to my grandkids. I've told it to my kids. You start reading your Bible and memorizing Scripture, and your grades will go up. I guarantee it. Just try it. Try what I'm telling you. Start memorizing portions of Scripture. It'll sharpen your mind. It'll put God's Word in you. And it'll help you in your schoolwork. I can guarantee it. All right, so number one. You're going to follow these resolutions? You better be connected to the Word of God. This is how you find direction for your life. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, how are you going to display your love if you don't even know what His commandments are? You've got to read it. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, I don't have time. You got time to scroll through your phone. You got time to surf the web. Used to be you'd preach against television. Now you got to preach against computers and phones and everything else. But you know, the fact is, people are distracted. You better get in this book. Secondly, determined to spend time with God in prayer and meditation. You go to God, reading the Word of God is God's Word to you. His truth communicated to you. Prayer is you going to God with an open heart, in adoration, worship of Jesus. When He gave the model prayer, He said, this is how you pray. hallowed be thy name. When you come to God, have a sense of reverence as you pray. Confess your sins. Give thanks for what you have. Begin to pray for others. That's the acts of prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Pretty simple formula. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You need to go to the secret place of the Most High. Jesus said, enter into your closet. He's not talking literally about a closet that you go into. He's talking about a place where you get alone with God. It may be in your car when you're driving to work. It may be while you're walking for exercise and you're just talking to the Lord. See, He's not telling us there's a certain posture or you got to fold your hands a certain way. No, it's about communicating with God. Going before the Lord. Talking to Him. You know, there's times when I wake up in the middle of the night now that I'm old. Used to be when I was younger, I'd go to bed and wouldn't even stir until I wake up in the morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Now, I might wake up two or three times a night, and I've learned one of the best ways is just start praying and start going over all my scriptures that I've memorized through the years. And before too long, once I'm prayed out and once my memorization runs out, I'm back to sleep. He giveth His beloved sleep. But you got to get your mind right to talk to God. Now, He says in verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. There's a lot of snares out there. You better be prayed up, because there's a lot of traps. There's a lot of filthy diseases that want to take over your life. Read the Word and go to God in prayer. Verse 4 talks about His protection. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Go to God in prayer, and He'll give you boldness to walk with Him. Number 3. This is so important. This is a resolution every single man here ought to make. I have resolved to lead my wife, my children, and my grandchildren by precept and practice in the ways of truth and godliness on a daily basis. Now, I'm not saying that I do it perfectly, but my kids and my grandkids know that I love the Lord, that I want to serve Him. They know that about their grandma, that she is serious about following the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents, you've got a responsibility to your children. To do right, walk right, live right. By precept and by practice. Now I know, like I told you, I've got many failings. But I want to be the right kind of example for my family. And it's following the principle of Deuteronomy 6. I'm sure you've read that many times. Go over there, Deuteronomy 6. Here's what God says to the children of Israel in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt bind them, or verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The Word of God should have a prominent place in your life. How are you going to teach your children if you don't know what's in the book? Turn over to Proverbs 23. This is heavy on responsibility, parents. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 22. He's saying to his son, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. He's saying, listen to your dad, and don't despise your mother. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. You know, it's one of the most joyous things to see your children and your grandchildren walking in God's ways. Going to the house of God, reading the Word of God, being a witness for the Lord, training their children in the things of God. And there's nothing greater than that. Verse 25, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And young people, what an encouragement it is when you live for the Lord. People see that, and it blesses their heart when you're doing right and when you're obedient to your parents and to the Word of God. Verse 26, here's the one that goes right to my heart. Solomon, and remember what I told you about resolutions. When you say them out loud, you're putting pressure on yourself. It's good pressure when you resolve to do something. Here's what he said to his son. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know what he's saying? Son, you watch what I do. You do what I do. Because I'm going to walk in God's ways. And you need to follow me. You need to resolve to do that. Here's another resolution that every one of us ought to have this year. Seek out opportunities to witness to lost people. In every sphere of influence. By sharing the gospel of the grace of God. We're commanded by Christ to preach the gospel to every creature. To tell everybody that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. That message, we ought to carry it wherever we go. It should start in our homes, in the workplace, wherever we are. We ought to be able to say with Paul the Apostle, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Number 5. Determined to be faithful to the Lord's church in attendance, worship, service, love, tithing, and giving. Can you say with the psalmist, Psalm 122 and verse 1, this is Adelaide's favorite. Well, this week it's her favorite verse. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How about you? Can you say that? I'm going to tell you how much better off your life will be if you'll determine today to be in the house of God. I go every time the doors are open. I know some people are providentially hindered, and I understand that completely. But you know what? There is something special about coming to the house of God, being with God's people, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's part of the way we prove our profession of faith. Now, I know that people, there are things, people get sick, they've got problems. I'll tell you what, don't rob yourself of blessings. Be faithful to the house of God. And number six, this is real simple. Strive to daily please the Lord in your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. This isn't rocket science. But it's something that you've got to resolve to do. You've got to determine. Psalm 19 is just a powerful portion of Scripture. And he says this in Psalm 19 and verse 10. He says this about God's Word. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. God's truth and His Word is more valuable than any possession or any wealth that you could ever accumulate. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There are rewards here and on into eternity, if you'll walk in God's ways. I have experienced it. I've seen God work in the 42 years that I've been saved. And it is a glorious thing to see the power of God working in people's lives, in your lives, in my life. He said in verse 12, who can understand His errors, cleanse thou me from secret faults. He understood he was a sinner, that he had indwelling sin. And he says, verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. In verse 14, this is one you ought to memorize. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You got to get your mind right. Well, as I reflect on this message, I get convicted of how many times I've failed the Lord in these simple but sometimes difficult resolutions. But you know what? When I get knocked down, I ask God to give me grace to get back up and keep on fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. The victory is in Christ. As we enter into a new year, may we enter into it with a holy resolve to serve the Lord on a daily basis. practicing the truth of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Asking God for grace to follow the admonition. You want peace in your life. You want tranquility as you're serving God and you're living for the Lord. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Ask God to get your mind on Him. Romans 12, 1. I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. God will give you grace. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever therefore you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So I can say Happy New Year, and I trust that it will be a holy new year as you follow these resolutions. Let's all stand. Page number